Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome to the Final Inspection Show. Steve Zocchi along with the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski in studio, and John Wiedemann from RacingNation.com. And make sure you check out GreatLakesDragway.com online for their 2020 season passes, where you can get them now. One of the best buys in racing. Also, check them out on Facebook at the Great Lakes Dragway on Facebook. And you can also, there should be a link on there also that will direct you to their gift shop and get those 2020 season passes. Good all year long. And also, you can check us out also, TFI, The Final Inspection Show on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Me, you can follow Steve Zocchi, Z-A-U-T-K-E. And Jeff, how do we follow you?
Jeff_Orlowski, no W, O-R-L-O-S-K-I.
And John?
Pretty much just check out RacingNation.com.
There you go. Yep. I like that. And joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, a man who is underground when it comes to social media, but we don't mind. It is Guy Hobbs, who is our IndyCar expert. Welcome to the show, Guy.
Well, thank you. Glad to be a part of it.
So,
and you're right, I am underground.
And it's only 22 days until the season opener in St. Pete, and the cars this year are certainly going to look a bit different, aren't they?
They're certainly going to look a little different, and they certainly sound a little different. However, I think the show is also going to be different and will be very exciting.
So when with St. Pete coming up and Indy, I think one of the best things that happened in IndyCar last year was everything was consolidated onto one broadcast network, that's NBC, and they're setting up once again for expanded coverage. One thing I always enjoyed, going back to, if you want to call it the heyday for many in when it comes to IndyCar and karting, was coming home after work on a weekday and watching ESPN and their daily coverage at Indianapolis. And that's, you can do that once again with the NBC Gold Package with online. And the online content and expanded coverage has certainly changed the world of auto racing, motorsports. You can pretty much check out anything you want, can't you, Guy?
It certainly can online. And, of course, all the drivers in particular now are all so accessible to, I mean, before, if you wanted to talk to somebody or get a word with any driver, you had to set it up a day ahead of time, and then they maybe, if they had time, they would talk to you. Now, of course, they're all wide open, and they're all texting and emailing and online and Twittering the entire time. So, I mean, you can pretty much talk to anybody you want any time now. And they're all open. The great thing about I know this happened years and years ago, is they had a meeting with all the drivers, it must be 15 years ago, and they said, you need to make yourselves much more accessible to the media if you're going to get any kind of recognition or acknowledgement. And that's certainly something IndyCar has addressed, and they've done, and they've done it very well. And you see people on there all the time. Just, I get Twitter messages nonstop from half the, in fact, I've had to ask them to stop sending them to me.
One of those guys who's done a very good job of that is James Hinchcliffe, and he picked up a ride this year with Andretti Autosport, didn't he?
Yes, I think he's doing, well, he's doing Indianapolis, and I think he's doing just the road courses, is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and I just read somewhere yesterday, I think someone's picked up a deal to do just the oval courses.
So.
But I need to check in on that. It was a quick read. Well, I'm in Elkhart Lake, so everything's quick.
How's the weather up there today?
Well, it's lovely. It's one of those fake days when you look out the window and you go, gosh, look at that blue sky and lovely sunny weather. And then you look at the people walking by in their hats, coats, earmuffs, and snow sleds as they go by.
You know,
I can actually hear a lot of, I think there's some kind of snowmobile event going on at the Sheboygan Marsh this weekend. And I can hear them racing out there, too. So
I'm in a semi-rural area. You hear the droning of the snowmobile engines in the distance. So I'm a fan of The Odd Couple. I love the movie, and I love the old series with Felix and Oscar. Is there more of an Odd Couple guy in IndyCar than Sebastian Bourdais and A.J. Foyt?
I can't think of one. Although, actually, A.J. Foyt did, I'm trying to think who it was now, but a number of years ago, same thing. He had, another French driver drive for him. And at the time, everybody's like, this is just not going to work. And sure enough, it didn't work. But no, I can't imagine two completely different personalities, characters, and, you know, AJ, of course, being from ovals and USAC and American racing and everything. And Sebastian Bourdais coming in, speaking French, having snails for dinner after. AJ's got to look at him and go, weirdo. But he's quick. But, of course, he's getting old now, as far as the series is concerned.
For Sebastian, that is, yes.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Well, AJ's been old for a long time. but Sebastian, I mean, these days it seems like to me you got to be about 21, 22, and by the time you're 26, you're done.
It almost seems that way. With McLaren coming into the series, how big of a deal is that for IndyCar?
That's just funny you should ask. You would think with McLaren and their worldwide following, particularly obviously in England, and it would generate some kind of interest. But I mean, I speak to my friends back in England all the time and talk about IndyCar, and they're just, half of them still don't even know what IndyCar is. So I'm hoping that the McLaren connection will generate some more interest there. But even the Formula One has lost interest in England as far as viewerships and mm-hmm. crowds quite largely. I don't know why, whether it's the coverage or whether it's just the racing is not that exciting. But of course, the IndyCar racing is so exciting, and there's more overtaking on in one lap in IndyCar than there is in a season of Formula One. So, what's happened in England, or particularly in Europe these days, it seems to me that the saloon car or sports car has taken over, and you can go, for a race weekend, $20 to the Silverstone or Brands Hatch, and you can watch three great races over the course of a weekend, and there's 30 cars involved, and there's lots of banging and crashing and spinning and punch-ups afterwards, and then everybody gets together and has a cup of tea and goes, okay, see you next weekend.
You know, there was two kind of F1 IndyCar renaissances, of course, is the mid-60s with Jimmy Clark and Graham Hill, Jochen Rindt, who came over, Jackie Stewart, with Lola and Lotus and everything. There's a lot of crossover between the two. And then the second one was in the early 90s when you had Nigel Mania. You had Emerson Fittipaldi over here. and several other drivers, and even, you know, to a lesser amount, Mark Blundell and Guzman and those kind of guys. Is that something that we could be seeing again in the near future? Is this a way for maybe IndyCar to capitalize on that with F1 kind of in a, you know, let's face it, Mercedes is just taking over the series. There's not a lot of, you know, when you go into it, you're wondering, you know, how much is Lewis Hamilton going to win by this week? Or, you know, is Bottas going to be able to do something? Is this an opportunity for IndyCar to make a little bit of a move? Not to challenge F1, but just maybe siphon off a few of the fans?
It certainly is a great opportunity. Not to slam IndyCar, but when I was working with ESPN and Speed Channel and covering IndyCar, and at the time we were going to 110 nations, the international ESPN international feed. And we would speak to the director of the domestic show, the American show, and we would say, could we please see some more? I know they're at the back, but could we please see more of Mark Blundell and people like that, Mauricio Guzman? And of course they said, no, the Americans aren't interested. And we kept saying, well, we're going to 100 and something countries, and all these people are very interested. Mm-hmm. And until you give them someone, you know, they're not going to follow, I hate to say it, but they're not going to follow Marco Andretti or Hinchcliffe or people like that, particularly because they don't know them and they haven't seen them coming up through the ranks and coming over to America. I think obviously the Indianapolis 500 still has its mass appeal, but some of the other races just not. And of course we've seen that domestically too. For example, the Milwaukee Mile, you know, where that race disappeared for a while, but it's still Milwaukee Mile is probably some of the best racing IndyCar ever had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, is that somebody? Does Marcus Ericsson or Alexander Rossi, who has Formula One experience? I mean, are there still fans out there that are kind of wondering, you know, well, let's see what they can do in IndyCar? Does that move the meter at all?
I think Alexander Rossi certainly does, yes.
Okay.
I'm not so sure about Marcus Ericsson, but, I mean, England in particular is such a racing nation. They can't get enough racing, whether it's Formula Ford on a local level at Alton Park in a rainy, windy, crappy afternoon, or whether it is Formula One. I mean, they're out to watch all forms of racing. And, of course, if they've got someone to root for, it makes a huge difference. And that's, you know, when, like you mentioned, Nigel Mansell, when he came over, at that point, the IndyCar ratings in England were higher than the Formula One ratings for quite some time. Unfortunately, a certain Mr. Eccleston didn't like it so much, and he pretty much had the kibosh put on the IndyCar coverage in Europe. But there's plenty of viewers out there, and people follow, obviously, their local guy, and it's the same as if Aaron Rodgers was to go to some other team. I'm sure it'd be a bunch of Wisconsin people, just like when Brett Favre left, that follow Aaron Rodgers, not so much the Packers, you know.
All right, let's take a quick break here, Guy. We'll hold you over for one more segment here. When we come back, we'll be talking about some more news coming up in the IndyCars and what's coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is Guy Hobbs. Guy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And this is one story in the IndyCar side that kind of intrigues me, and we talked about it a little bit last week, and that's Scott McLaughlin for the Australian Supercars driver, champion driver, in fact, with Team Penske, who tested with the captain at I think it was either Sebring or Circuit of the Americas. Very, very fast right off the bat. And now it looks like he's going to be running the Indianapolis Grand Prix. That's on the road course before the 500. And, guy, that's a pretty interesting story. And as we said last week, you know, Penske doesn't do anything just on a whim. So he must have seen something in this driver, didn't he?
He's obviously seen something in him. Or if Roger hasn't seen something in him, one of his men has seen something in him. But all the way back to where Roger picked out Mark Donohue back in 1969 or 1970 or something. He can spot talent. We know that. He's had Helio Castroneves for a number of years, and we've known he's very good. And he obviously, if he realizes if he doesn't have what he needs for IndyCar, Roger can give it to him, basically, and train him to become the next, hopefully, IndyCar champion.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with him. And, I just think, I love stories like this. I love seeing John, a kid that can go from one series to another almost seamlessly and be fast right off the bat.
In the old days, I talk about the old days, because drivers used to go from series to series to series,
sure.
Possibly in one weekend even run two or three different series. Or in England, it's so small, they would possibly run one race on a Saturday at one track and a completely different track, completely different car on the Sunday, and just run between the two circuits. So now it's good to see these people coming from other disciplines and hopefully running more than just one discipline. It's got to the point where the drivers have now become, okay, this is what I drive. I don't drive anything else. And then we used to see a lot of them come and maybe do the 24 hours of Daytona or go over and do the 24 hours of Le Mans. But now they're even getting specific where they're not going to do those series either anymore.
And, Guy, it seems like we're getting...
One guy I'd really like to see in IndyCar would be Jordan Taylor.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would love to see him get an opportunity.
Guy, it seems like we're getting some drivers from Europe. Definitely IndyCar is getting interest from them. Is there any guys that you see this year that are going to maybe kind of surprise us, pop up, and maybe do something like what Colton Herta did last year?
From Europe, you're saying?
Well, there's some of these new guys that are in the series.
Anybody at all, yeah, any of the rookies that are coming in.
Well, no, unfortunately not. There's no one that's standing out to me at one particular moment now. Years ago, there was a guy I picked called Hoover Orsi, and he had raced in the South American Formula 3 series, and he had dominated this series in a dominating car. And at the time, I said, this kid's going to be the next Formula 1 star.
I think he won an Atlantic race at Milwaukee, didn't he?
He won an Atlantic race in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
He ended up becoming a Formula One test driver. I think it was for McLaren. And he obviously did something wrong, or he ran out of money, but he has basically gone back to farming in Argentina at this point. But he was, I had my eye picked on him. Another guy I had some years ago was he's a Dumillon, Jean-Philippe Dumillon or something. He was a French-Canadian driver in the IMSA series, and I thought he was fantastic. And I just found out the other day he's now running Canadian Cascar series.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I thought for sure he was going to go on to be. So I guess my picks aren't that good.
Well, there's certainly been a lot of drivers you see come up over the years. You think it's a can't miss, and I mean that's true with anything. You know, how many times have we seen a guy do well? You know, top guy in high school, he moves on to college, he does very well, but doesn't really make it in the pro level. And there's you know, whatever sport you're going into, you're gonna certainly follow that. I'm trying to think of a driver I thought that was going to be a can't miss, but One guy just popped into my head, and I know a guy will remember this one, was Mike Thackwell. He was a young British driver who was, everybody thought was going to be world champion, didn't they?
Yeah, they certainly did. And, of course, he cleaned up in the British Formula 3. I think he started off at British Formula Ford, and he cleaned up in that series, and he did the British Formula 3 series, and he cleaned up on that. And you're right. Everybody thought this guy's going to go on to become world champion. I think the only time you read about Mike Thackwell now in England is if you get fish and chips and it's wrapped up in newspaper.
And he actually drove an Indy car for Roger Penske for a race. I forget what track, but I think I want to say 84. This was after Mears got injured at St. Aaron. They were bringing in multiple guys to replace him through the end of the year. But yeah, there's always a lot of drivers like that. It just kind of flame out, unfortunately.
Yes, yes. And I don't know why it is that they flame out, whether it's they don't have the sponsorship, or, of course, you upset the wrong person and you're just immediately out anyway.
Well, there's the politics too, Guy, isn't it? I mean, how important is that in especially in Europe, the politics of racing are so very important. And you look like a guy... you know, so many times we've had drivers that just for whatever reason weren't able to navigate the rough politics of the upper echelons of Formula One, isn't that true?
Well, yes, the politics is the political games that go on are just incredible.
Tommy Byrne is one guy, right?
Well, he's a classic example of. But I think there might be slightly more to his story.
Yes, that's true, though.
he didn't help himself. Because Tommy Byrne, for those that don't know, he won the Indy Lights Championship twice, I believe. He won everything in Europe. He's written a great book. And he came over to America to make his fame and fortune. And actually, he had a test drive for Formula One. And he said the wrong thing to the wrong person, that person being Ron Dennis. And that was it. Ron Dennis told him there and then on the pit lane at Silverstone at the test, said, "You will never drive in Formula One ever again." And sure enough, he never did drive in Formula One ever again.
Yeah, his book.
He's still hanging on. Then I speak to Tommy every now and again. He's still hanging on, still sort of involved in racing. A little bit.
He's an instructor, I think, right? At Mid-Ohio? Well, that's the last time I heard.
He's an instructor at the Mid-Ohio school, and he also does some side work for, I think, Porsche at various locations around the country as an instructor. But when you get your new Porsche, and he shows you how to drive it.
Properly, yes. Crash and Burn is the book. Go to Amazon.com. I highly, highly recommend it. Especially
it's one of those reads. It's one of those reads where you open up, you read the first page, and you go, "Well, no wonder the guy didn't make it." and then as you go on, it's like, "Oh my God, this." I mean, I worked with Tommy for a number of years, and I knew him I've known him for years, and half the stuff I did not know until I read the book. And then when I read the book, I was like, "Oh my gosh."
Crash and Burn is the book, and it's Burn, like his last name, Byrne, and then D, Crash and Burn. Get the book. Just the chapter on him racing open wheel cars in Mexico is worth the price of admission for that book. It's incredible, the stuff that was going on down there. So, yeah, make sure you check that out. It's a good read. So, Guy, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show and look forward to chatting with you again.
Thank you for having me on. It was my pleasure.
All right.
If anyone feels like coming up to Elkhart Lake, bring a shovel.
Thank you. That was Guy Hobbs on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
Coming up next, we're going to have three questions with Larry on the Final Inspection Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.